This podcast is produced and distributed by Biz Radio Asheville. To receive the free Biz Radio app, just text the word Asheville to 36260. That's Asheville to 36260. With the app, you can easily enjoy this program and other local programming podcasts on demand.
I'm Joanna Patrice Haggerty, and this is In Business with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Today with me is Justin Blackburn. Justin is a poet, comedian, author, and life coach. His intention for all of his work is to inspire people to remember the limitless divinity that lives within them and to create their lives from there. His last novel, The Bisexual Christian Suburban Failure: Enlightening Bipolar Blues, is about healing trauma. Well, before we dive into that title and all of that that just said, Justin, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always great to hang out with you, so it's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, before we got on, I was mentioning that you're actually the first male I have had on In Business, so pat yourself on the back on that one.
Okay, I guess I will.
You're going to be required to speak a lot about male. No, I'm just kidding. But you do anyway. Your work naturally really speaks about being a strong, powerful, and grounded male, and I'm really excited to have you. So,
thank you.
Cool. I was thinking that maybe we just kind of start with unpacking why you even started on trauma healing. That's clearly the undertone for a lot of the work I see and a lot of the creative work you produce. So why? Why did that become important to you?
I don't know, I just think naturally because I'm human, and I think that we are all, you know, we live in a very trauma-filled world. And yeah. I think that just naturally knowing that, you know, I took on a lot of it is, and wanting to heal it and wanting to feel good and wanting to live like a really awesome, authentic life. And to do that, you have to face a lot of the past and trauma. So yeah. I think just life inspired me to do that.
Can you like bring it back to a point? Because I mean, one of the things that you and I know about sort of evolution and trauma healing is there is sort of that point where you have to flip the switch and say, yes, I'm willing to walk through that door. So can you trace it back to any particular experience or something that helped you really break through that?
I think I've always been willing to walk through the door cool. of something.
Yeah.
I don't really remember an exact moment in time. But yeah, I think, I mean, I've gotten better at it, you know,
right.
or like when I was younger, I didn't even know that I had it, or I didn't even know there was anything like, you know, I just thought life was what it was. So mm-hmm. I think just becoming aware, just moments of clarity, of being aware of situations, being able to call myself out.
Yeah.
I can talk about moments where I like in my, being, like owning my racism that I was conditioned. That was yeah. kind of a trauma that I can remember being like, wow, I'm racist at yeah. times in my life, being raised in Greer, South Carolina, around a lot of racist people. So there's some clarity there, but I think I've just always really enjoyed going deeper. I could say mushrooms, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Acid,
I think truthfully, like Justin, you are by nature just such a vibrantly creative human, and you have allowed yourself to be grounded in that. And a lot of people are taught to walk away from that. So what I'm kind of hearing is sort of you were able to keep a little bit of that creative wonderment that allows you to step into healing trauma. Because for me, healing trauma requires a lot of creativity.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, I think that I always felt that there was something weird about the world. And I didn't want to go to the weird world. I wanted to stay in my world. So always something that I didn't fully align with the people. So that, in my opinion, was my access point to myself, my, you know, creativity, probably at times my narcissism that I feel like mm-hmm. I used to have. Because mm-hmm. I think I had to feel that way to not like, I'm better than these people on some level. Like just the people I grew up with.
Right.
Not, you know, not like I'm superior or something like that, but just like man, these people are really caught up in this bullshit. I don't want to, or this bull stuff. I don't want to be into them, you know?
And it's about learning how to use categorization and judgment appropriately. And like you said, not letting the ego id battle come into play. It's saying, let me analyze who I am as an individual, what I believe. And just like you said, when something feels wrong, there's a reason. So, right, exactly. You're talking about racism. You're talking about, you know, people who still believe in the president we are watching walk away and still seeing these trauma conversations. It's the fear of being uncomfortable. It's the fear of walking through and not knowing what's on the other side. And it's easier sometimes to stay in that comfort zone, but it's way more uncomfortable.
Exactly. I feel like I always enjoyed being uncomfortable, and that was another thing. I was okay with that. Probably maybe I was like disconnected. I feel like I spent a lot of my younger years disassociated. So being in an awkward environment was kind of fun and kind of like that, you know. And I think people that saw maybe my early stand-up and my early poetry performances can really understand that that's what I was kind of doing, is making people uncomfortable because I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. So I would go to I remember going to parties and going places and being like, man, I'm having such a horrible time. This is awesome. Man, this is really insane. These people are, but man, this is cool.
And that's what I imagine. This is why you have taken some of the path that you have, is, I mean, truthfully, you and I are similar in a lot of ways, but we've come at it from completely different places. I ran away from everything that was uncomfortable. I almost had an ulcer in middle school because I didn't speak my piece and I wasn't willing to lean in. And then I had to break that piece. But now here you and I are both realizing the uncomfortability is so powerful. And I love that you brought up stand-up. I did improv before, and it was the most terrifying thing I'd ever done. And forcing yourself into those uncomfortable places means you are stretching that muscle and learning to do that more.
Totally. And for me, stand-up was never really scary because
I'm jealous.
I was there to not get laughs.
Yeah.
When I first started, I was like, man, stand-up is stupid. I'm going to go make fun of it. So I would enjoy, like, when I remember actually doing a show at the Magnetic Theater like years ago, and I was doing really well. I was getting, it was a packed audience. I was just crushing, and I was like, whoa, this doesn't feel good. I'm going to say something that's not going to make this happen any longer. And I did.
That's honestly a really good point too, is in the healing trauma journey, you start to uncover certain things, right? So being uncomfortable with being uncomfortable, or being comfortable with being uncomfortable, is important to start with. But then you have to actually be willing to receive the good feelings too, and not let yourself self-sabotage that, right? So you can't be in the room and be like, well, let me suck now because I don't want people to think I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, exactly. So that was another like, experience that I had to heal, where I had to understand that, like, no, that's exactly what I want and what I'm here to do. I want to join in with these people. I want to make them laugh. I want to make them feel good. I had an experience once, and this was years ago, where I was doing a show in Anderson, South Carolina. And my bit was, I went out and I was like, oh no, all you guys want me to do is tell the Martin Lawrence story. That's why you're here. That, you know, I know it has 500,000 hits on YouTube. That's why you want to see it. I'm not going to tell it. So then I kept doing this and doing this and doing this. And then about, you know, 10 minutes in, everybody's like, tell the story, right? Because I just kept saying. And then the story was just that me and Martin Lawrence were on Hollywood Boulevard. And he said that, hey, I want to go skiing. And I said, okay. And then he went skiing. And there was no story. It wasn't funny. It was just... And I remember going to the bathroom afterwards and being like, haha, and then being like, why did you just do that? Like, you just confused a bunch of people for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, what was the point of that? And that's when I started being like, I should just probably try to write jokes that make people laugh instead of like just being insane. That was a point where I like questioned myself and like, that was just weird, man.
And it really, I imagine, again, really pivoted for you being this person to write this book and to become a life coach. So let's like zone it back in on this kind of windy journey of being uncomfortable, learning how to activate our real power. Like, why this book? Why life coaching? Why those pieces of your career?
Well, I can start with a book. I think I've always wanted to, I've been wanting to write books forever. And I have written books since I can remember, like a kid, I've always written. I just wanted to write something that I want to write something profound. I want to write something powerful. And I was like, okay, I want to write something that I feel a lot of people, like the bisexual Christian suburban failure enlightening, but like those are words, or some of those are words that make people feel bad about themselves. Like yeah. Growing up, you know, in where I'm from in Greer, if you were, you know, gay or bi, you're kind of humiliated on some level by certain people.
Right.
You're a failure if you're not, you know, there's something wrong with you if you don't want to be successful like everyone else, or
being Christian is this kind of way, or yeah
you're crazy and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. So I just, it breaks my heart on some level that there are so many amazing, profound, brilliant people who have been conditioned by a society of fear, of a society of self-judgment, a society of like refusal to look at themselves. And they feel bad about themselves because of that.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this book is to kind of heal that trauma, to make people see that who you are is beautiful, who you are is amazing, who you are is powerful. And the reason, if you don't realize that, it's because of the world around you that conditions you into that belief, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's the point of that book. And that's basically what I do in my life coaching. Is just really help people realize, uncover the conditioning, the false premises, the beliefs that are like kind of buried deep down that create negative things in their life, that teach people, oh, I don't deserve this, I can't do this, but basically like limited beliefs.
Right.
And uncover them and restore them with a belief in themselves that, yes, I can do this, and find ways to really believe in themselves, because I feel like that's where our society is really desiring to go on an unconscious level right now, is really owning who we are as human beings, owning our power and our goodness and our love, because that's the one thing that can transform all of the chaos that's happening right now, is that love within us all.
And accepting the duality. You know, I love that you put the term bipolar in your title, because I did mental health work forever and I use those phrases. I mean, I've been having mania the last couple of days. I've been staying up and really productive, but that doesn't mean I'm a threat to society. That doesn't mean I'm actually being unhealthy. It actually means I'm living in the flow. And when I have to be sad or depressed, I can be that too. And it can just be a term. It doesn't have to be a limiting belief. You know?
I love that. I love what you just said. Yeah, you can. I think that when you start to diagnose bipolar and all this stuff, is this like bad, scary thing? And I get it. You know, sometimes people that have it, it's hard maybe to trust themselves.
Yeah.
But when you start to do that, it starts to make people feel like something's wrong with them, and
right.
They become dependent on something that, you know, maybe for a little bit can help you. I'm not saying that the things can't help you,
right.
But when it becomes your identity, like right. I remember I got asked to perform, this was years ago, at a NAMI. I was doing spoken word at a NAMI meeting.
Cool. Which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, and much respect to NAMI, and I'm not putting anything down on NAMI because they're a great organization.
Right.
But there were some people that I met there that kind of freaked me out, and that probably where they were just like, yeah, I'm bipolar 2.3, and you know, if I have to take these meds for the rest of my life, or I'm gonna freak out. And they just really seemed really stuck to their identity, and maybe that helped them then, and I'm not trying to put them down, but I just think that like people are so much more than this label, right? And when you can go into that energy, which in my opinion what creates that is what I would call trauma or conditioning, when you can kind of go into that and say, yeah, maybe maybe I do have aspects of the bipolar disorder, and that's okay. And that makes me better to understand the energy and work with it instead of feeling like I am in, like I am in lack to this energy, like this.
And then I have to transform it into something outside of me too. Right. And say like, oh, well, being bipolar equals bad. Therefore I have to do these things. Like
exactly.
When I talk with all my clients, again, I've done mental health work and business coaching, and they really just play in nicely. And I think this is why you and I can talk to the ends of the earth. But I use that term homeostasis from science, because that's really what we're doing, is we are trying to find this healthy balance for us. And it's impossible. As human beings, the moment you wake up, your body is starting to deplete itself. So you will never be in perfect homeostasis. It's just about that constant evolution of, oh, I'm feeling a little thirsty, let me consume water. Oh, I'm tired, let me do this. Yeah. It's not this giant evolution. And again, knowing what the terms bipolar or mania and depression, I mean, I'm sorry, mental health is not for a subset of individuals who are ill. Everybody has mental health. Exactly. We have good days, we have bad days, it's across the board. So I love that you are able to bring a lot of your own experience into your life coaching. Is there something specific for anybody maybe? And if this is off the cuff too much, let me know. But is there maybe a little trick or exercise or something we could kind of give people if they're feeling a little stuck in themselves or wanting to kind of work on some of this or some of the
definitely. Work? What I do with my clients and myself is really kind of becoming, actually I had a session earlier today with a client, and this is what I told them. It's basically like becoming best friends with those limited beliefs or fear or whatever. What does the message say? Like the person that I was coaching today, it was a relationship coaching, and they had a part of themselves that said that there's no way I'm ever going to be in a relationship that's healthy. A very limited belief. I can't.
Right.
So what I was doing is just, let's go into this. You know, first off, letting them know, you telling me I can't, I get you're trying to protect me in all these situations, but you telling me I can't is making me unable to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like when we're afraid of disappointment, we're afraid of rejection, we're actually disappointing and rejecting ourselves right there.
100%.
So that was I saying, and then I was like, you know, let's become really, like, put your arm around this energy, you know, get to know it, get to love it, and let it, you know, becoming really good friends with it and understanding it. And once you do, it's not this scary or unknown thing. For example, when I was living in Costa Rica for a while, and I was in this relationship that wasn't going well, and I didn't really want to be there because I was there for her. And I started having a lot of panic attacks and blah, blah, blah. And then when I came back to America, I kept having panic attacks. This was like years ago. But I just started to talk to my panic. I was like, hey, what's going on? And then once I started to talk to it, the next time it would come up, I'd be like, hey, we already had this conversation. Remember? Yeah. You already told me that you're just trying to help me. So then that would dissolve it. And it didn't have any – because the fear needs you – like for my client,
yeah,
exactly. I can't get a relationship.
Yep.
Yeah, it needs you to say, yeah, I can't.
Right.
the moment you say, no, that's not true, it doesn't have any power.
Yep. Are you familiar with, I don't know if you are familiar with cognitive behavior therapy, but it's one of the tools I've loved in mental health. And it's basically the foundation behind what you're talking about. And so what I've done with some of my clients is similar to what you say. I use, actually for me, in my mind, it's a yellow school bus. I don't know why. It's a yellow school bus where it's either myself saying these words to me, and then I put that version of me on that bus, or it's other people, right? We've had people, I'm a singer. I literally was recording in a booth one time years ago, found out later. I mean, I was super uncomfortable when I was singing. It just didn't feel right. And I found out later that person who was recording me was diminishing me. They were like, oh, she sounds like a Disney princess. And the fact that was a bad way. And you know, for me, that whole process was so important to realize. So sometimes I got to put that person on that bus and say, you know what? You said that. That's your belief about me. That's not mine too. And then I let it drive away. And guess what? Sometimes that bus rolls back around and it's packed with people and myself all saying this crappy stuff about me.
Totally.
And I just send it off again. You know?
Yeah. I had a similar experience the first time I went saying I was in high school with a friend of mine. And before the show, he just belittled me like, your voice is horrible. You don't know anything. You're ridiculous. And that always made me feel like I had a bad voice. So even though, you know, I came out with this album, I think you listened to some of it, of it spoken words, some of it singing, but like, there's still a belief that, you know, when Patrick Doyle, who was the producer, he's an amazing local producer of my album, Unlearning White America, is he would be like, no, it sounds good. Or it's, I'd be like, no, it doesn't, you know?
Right. Right. I couldn't
believe him. And when people say that I sound good, I still have a part of me that's like, nah, just because this guy belittled me before a show, because I didn't think I was a bad singer when I at that point in time.
But now you do, because you've heard this external version and you have to wrestle. Honestly, Steve Martin was such a cool example. I heard him talking one time about he wanted to be a singer and a banjo player, which he now does, but
he's
not very great. His voice is not, you know, again, it's not one of the most profound voices you've ever heard. So what did he do? He built his career around being a comedian who sings and acts and plays music and all of that. So he got to live his dream by acknowledging what his skill set was and focusing on that versus those limiting beliefs. So I loved hearing him talk about that process, because sometimes we want to be a singer, but what's better for us is to really actualize our true potential, you know?
Yeah. And not to disagree with Steve Martin, but I feel like Steve Martin could have become a famous banjo singer.
And he did, right? He came that path, but he did it through not just staying stuck with being told he couldn't. And so he either could have busted that myth, right? Like you said, and done that thing, or he could have found a workaround. And honestly, a lot of the older generations, that's what they had to do, Justin. Their hands were tied. And this is what our generation is doing, is saying, F that. You know, it's fine. It's fine if you are bisexual, bipolar, the, you know, whatever. You are accepted in your full truth and your full power. So
totally. Exactly. And you know, a lot of times, because I think that talent is way too, I don't know. I think it's just more about having fun and being yourself that attracts people to you. Then that's all I was trying to mean by that. Then like, amazing at whatever.
Talent is overrated, absolutely, and talent can be taught. And just trust your gut and trust your heart. And guess what? Steve Martin is a banjo player. That's what he ultimately wanted. It took him a while to get there, but he's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wish that we had hours. I'm thinking probably sooner than later this show will be going to a full hour, which makes me excited, and I'll have to bring you back then. But
I'd love to come back.
Good, good. Well, until then, why don't we see if we can't connect you to the audience of listening people? So where can they go to find you and more about your work and what you do?
Okay. My name's Justin Blackburn. You can find my books and stuff at www.justinblackburnwrites.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, as Justin Blackburn. I have a Justin Blackburn coaching and a positive progressive poet comedian. So if anybody's interested in, you know, my life coaching, you can just send me a message and we can talk or see, or interested in getting a book or something. Yeah, you can just hit me up. Or if you just want to say, hey, what's up, and talk to me and be my friend, I'm cool with that too.
Oh, well, thank goodness we're allowed to be Justin's friend too.
Yeah, I love friends.
Awesome.
Can't get enough friends.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here today, friend. I really
appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and as always.
Great conversation as always. I always love and so appreciate you and our you know, like mind, I guess I would say, you know.
Yeah, you know, we got to band together and bring about the new world, because it's desperately needed right now.
Exactly. Totally.
Well, and as always, I'm Joanna Patrice Haggerty, and this is In Business with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please connect with me by downloading the Biz Radio app by texting Asheville to 36260 or on Instagram at jph.creative. I'd love to hear your show suggestions or any questions that you may have. And of course, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.